Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I love the readings at Thanksgiving, and I especially love the book of Deuteronomy. I love the way that it retells the story of Moses leading God's people through the wilderness. I love the richness of the imagery of a land so full of abundance that the Israelites never needed to worry about their lives, because God is the gracious, constant giver. I love the challenge in Deuteronomy to them and to us, always to remember. It's a word that comes up over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember, remember where this land comes from, this beautiful, good land. Always remember that it is a gift of God, not our own doing. That's a real strong message in that reading this morning. But more and more, I find myself disturbed by the very idea of a God whom Jesus teaches loves all people equally, people of every race and nation. How that God can give one nation a good land for its heritage when it means the displacement of other people. I think we can't avoid asking that question in the context that we're living in today. And how can we avoid being disturbed at this moment in human history? Our own country, people we know, churches we belong to, are welcoming refugees from all over the world. Our church and our government are both working seriously on reconciliation and reparation, not just from the horrors of the residential schools and that whole part of our history that we are now ashamed of, but from our long history, even longer history, of displacing First Nations peoples and assuming by what is called the doctrine of discovery, that is the idea that if we found this land, it must be ours, right? Some explorers came and discovered Canada, discovered the United States, discovered Australia, and in all those places there were already people living there for centuries before that, that the doctrine of discovery gave us the right to take over other people's land without any kind of fair exchange or bargaining even. This beautiful land of Canada, which sounds so much like the description in Deuteronomy 8. Just imagine that you were reading a travel brochure. What does this sound like to you? A land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley. A land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. Sounds a lot like Canada, even though, of course, the book of Deuteronomy is written to describe the Middle East context of the people of that time. None of us will ever know or understand the reasons that God displaced one people with the Hebrew nation, except that in various places in the Old Testament, the people whose lands were taken over were nations that abused other people cruelly, who did not have the humility to recognize that they were only creatures and God was the creator. Perhaps worse atrocities, greater tragedies might have happened if God did not give the land to a people who had made a covenant with him, who would cultivate it and share it and be a light to the nations. And although Israel, like we today, also failed many times to keep the commandments of God, they did in fact pass on a rich heritage to us. It is the heritage of Jesus. It's the roots of our religion, our values, our learning, and our knowledge of what the land is like and how to work the land even. It is a sober reminder that if those nations that today exercise leadership in the world forget who God is, and there's lots of evidence that that's happening, if they put themselves in the place of God, they, like many other great empires before them, will also fall and be displaced by other people. And so the challenge for us on this Thanksgiving Day, I think, is to do what we can, never to forget, always to remember that God has created this world, this earth, this beautiful land, and expects something of us in return: humility, generosity, gratitude above all, in exchange for this good land that we have inherited. And so listen again to these words, where we're reminded that God made water flow for you from Flint Rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, who gives you power to get wealth, so that the Lord's covenant made with your ancestors may be confirmed to you today. And that really is the point of all the readings on this Thanksgiving Sunday. The psalm, like the reading from Deuteronomy, is about the vast goodness of God. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. And my favorite verse in all of Deuteronomy verses is this one. You crown the year with your beauty, your bounty. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills cloak themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together with joy. Isn't that amazing? You crown the year with your bounty. If you look outside, especially an hour ago when it was bright sunlight, but even now, and look at the trees around us, it's like a crown, all red and gold and yellow. The year is crowned. It's as though the earth is alive. And of course, it is. The hills and the valleys and the meadows put on clothes. They deck themselves out. They shout and sing for joy. They model for us the spirit of Thanksgiving, that we too should clothe ourselves, envelop ourselves with the beauty of the gifts that God has given us, to wear them like a crown, to show forth the goodness and the love of God, and then shout together and sing with joy. Our response is overflowing gratitude. And Paul's letter to the Corinthians reminds us of how everything we give comes back to us. We reap what we sow. He says, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So if we sow seeds of a grateful heart, we will be blessed with a spirit of gratitude rather than a spirit of cynicism or complaining or criticism or cynicism. We will find our hearts overflowing with a joy that can change the lives of others. And I want to say that joy is something different from happiness. Joy is not superficial. Joy is something that we can experience even in the darkest times of our lives. Joy is something that wells up in us when we're grateful. I like to think that one leper in the gospel reading this morning who came back to say thank you to Jesus for his healing had perhaps the most joyful life of all the lepers. Certainly not happy. It was not a happy life being a leper. But there was something in him that saw the goodness of life that allowed him to come back and express that in gratitude. He would never say, by my hand and my righteous life and my following God's law have I accomplished this healing. No, this leper was the lowest of the low. Not only did he have a disease that was eating away at him literally, but it kept him out of human society. And of all the lepers, He was the one most to be pitied in Jesus' time because he was a Samaritan, a foreigner, somebody who was rejected and scorned, a leper and a Gentile. Yet he is the one who reminds us of what is most important in life, remembering the gifts we have received, the good that has been done to us, and the joy, that deep joy, that sense of gratitude that we have shared with others. Remembering what God has done is what Thanksgiving is about, remembering. It's not surprising that it comes right near the time of Remembrance Day either. It's a little off yet, a couple of weeks, but it's all about remembering, about not forgetting. Thanksgiving is about remembering that this land is a gift, that the life we live is a gift, that the responsibility that our wealth gives us is also a gift, an opportunity to share with others. So perhaps that Samaritan demonstrates the spirit with which we settlers, and I think we are all foreigners in this land, and so therefore we are all settlers. That is everybody in this congregation anyway, unless we have any indigenous folk that I don't know about. We're all settlers. We should remember those people who were here long before us. Thanksgiving is about remembering, and that is true about the Eucharist as well. The word Eucharist in Greek, in fact, means thanksgiving. And at the heart of the Eucharist prayer, Eucharistic prayer, is what is often called the Great Thanksgiving, which begins with the priest saying, "The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And then we get to the words of Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember me. Whenever you eat this bread, remember me. Whenever you drink this wine, remember me. This is my gift to you." Just as in Deuteronomy, where the key word is remember. Remember the Lord your God. It is impossible to separate gratitude from remembering. And so as we gather today for this harvest Thanksgiving, we gather not only to thank God for the harvest of the fruits of the earth, but for the harvest of the spiritual gifts that God has given us, and to pray for a spirit of reverence toward this land, in which the vast majority of us, even if our families have been here for five centuries, are settlers. Let us never say, "My power and the might of my own hand have given me this wealth." Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Amen.